How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Tuesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 14th day of September 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. And you're waking up to it would be a decent day. Most of the day, anyway. We'll start off with some sunshine this morning. See some clouds mix in throughout the day. Now, by later this afternoon, early this evening, chance of showers, maybe even a thunderstorm. We'll have to see on that one. But overall, most of the day should be decent. 22 degrees will be the high today. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 21. Same deal Thursday, a bit warmer, up to 25 degrees as you start out this morning. It is 10 degrees as we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Oh, my God, JR. If you want to review either anxiety in sports or the 1987 Behind-the-Scenes Canada Cup, I'm your guy.
Oh, are you?
I'm your guy.
Really?
So I'm good to go on that. Anything else that happened yesterday, JR? Not sure I can help you.
Okay. What did you watch another documentary or what's going on?
Oh, I did. Of course I did.
Ding, ding.
A gentleman by the name of Mr. Fish, who is a tennis player. You know, we brought up great...
Marty Fish.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. We brought up great tennis players yesterday. And one guy I really did not like and was his best friend in the documentary was Andy Roddick. I'd almost completely blanked out that the fact that this guy is actually in the Tennis Hall of Fame.
Right? Andy Roddick is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, which surprised me, right? I think he had won one major, but watch that. And then somebody had gotten a hold of...
What's the name of the documentary? And what is it about?
Well, it's about Marty Fish and basically going away from home at 15 years old, being a decent tennis player, but basically playing second fiddle to Andy Roddick, who became the number one player in the U.S. and in the world, I think, at one point. And then facing where he finally decided at 28 JR to get going with his career and really get at her and playing the best tennis and being in his best shape. He was at the U.S. Open and had to back out because of anxiety issues. And so it just really goes through that. And then secondary, I served that one up as a starter. And then my main course was somebody had gotten in 1987 behind the scenes Canadian television, a documentary on the Canada Cup where they followed them along. And I don't know if it was comical, if it was good, but sat there and watched through that for a couple of hours. And
really?
It just really took you back to it. It was just really interesting because did you realize they had a 4-week training camp at that time, Jer?
No.
Yeah, so think about...
That was the entire month of August then?
Yeah. So 87, the Oilers did win the Cup in 87, right? They missed
in
86.
They won in 84, 85, 87, 88,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, because I was thinking 86, of course, was Montreal, 89, your Flames. And I was looking at Gretzky and thinking this had to be when things started to deteriorate because if they're doing a 4-week training camp, imagine their season would have ended, what, would have had the month of July off?
Basically,
yeah. So went right into it. But it was just a real cool flashback to see how good the Russians were. They also had a lot of scenes of Wayne and Janet just together the whole time. And unfortunately, they look like brother and sister, which is fine. That's not a big deal. But they're off on the side schmoozing all the time and kissing. And it was just so if you're a hockey fan and you want to watch a little bit of that, it really had some cool coverage. And I thought to myself, my God, that's right when Cops Coliseum opened and not looking so pretty these days.
They say after a while that husbands and wives begin to look like each other.
But I thought that was your dog.
Well, no, or you morph into your pet. It's one or the other. But you're saying that actually at the start of Wayne and Janet's relationship, they looked like each other.
Well, they both wore the same jeans. I think they could probably fit into the same ones. And they both had, he had a real solid mullet. Like he was really. Like,
when he got married,
full mullet.
Tied it up.
Hers was, like way in the back, Hammer. A little side part. I mean, guys always had a solid flow. I wonder also as I was watching that, I'm going to have to go to modern pictures. I wondered if he got a nose job, Jer. But also...
The Wiener?
Yeah.
Really?
It was real pointy. No. Is it still pointy?
I think so. I mean, it's been a while since... His features have softened over the years.
But also it's pretty cool when you watch that as you think of he does have a Belarusian background. He looks very Belarusian, right? Mm. Like he has that whole Russian nose. And
like modern day Yukashenko.
Yeah, it could be. Vladdy's...
He's missing the mustache.
Yeah, he's a better goal scorer than the G-man, though.
Yeah, it's true. Well, high slot, yeah.
Him and Putin are able to do it. And the other part, I don't know what Grand Fear, what style he was playing. Do you remember...
Stop the puck style.
No, he was so bad.
Okay, well, stop the puck when it was necessary. I'll give you 7. Yeah. We're going to score 8.
It could be. And then who was in goal? Was it not Belashenko or I don't even think it was Michigan. Forget who the goaltender was for the Russians. He was awful. You know who else was awful at the time was Dominik Hasek because neither of them actually had legal goalie gear. I think they were both in street hockey stuff. So... So if you're a big hockey fan, you can go behind the scenes. And like I said, it just gives you a real insight to the whole thing.
What is interesting is, and I believe it'll be tomorrow will be the anniversary. And I'm not sure, maybe this popped up in your timeline because of yesterday. I didn't bring this up on the show, but I had it down in my notes. Yesterday was the anniversary of game two of that 87 final. In which Mario scored in double overtime to tie the series at one, leading the way, of course, to Gretzky, to Lemieux, won it in game three. So I believe that one, the anniversary of that, is probably coming up tomorrow. As a matter of fact, now, speaking of classic World Cup, Canada Cup anniversaries, because we're at that time of year, it was 25 years ago today. The United States scored four goals in the third period to beat Canada 5-2 in Game 3 to win the inaugural World Cup of Hockey. Of course, we had the Canada Cup in 81, 84, and 87, and 91, and then it became the World Cup of Hockey after that. And that, of course, I don't remember much other than Mike Richter being very good and Brett Hull deciding to play for the Americans.
Okay.
That's my entire memory of the 96 World Cup of Hockey.
Well, 96, guys, did this come up to the final was in Montreal?
Correct.
Is this carpet slipping for the Canadian girl doing the anthem?
Was I think that was 04 or something like that. I think that was the...
No. It was 96. Yeah. I just don't know which game it was. And I followed the entire...
That was at Le Colisée, right?
Oh, was
Or was
it
at the Forum?
Okay, I don't know, actually, because 96 would have been what? Is that the final year of the Nordiques before they headed to Colorado?
Yes, I believe so.
So that's a possibility.
No, they would have been there already because Colorado won in 96.
Okay. Oh, there you go. I followed that entire tournament, JR, up until the final three. Went to a ton of games in Philly. Went to a bunch in New York. And I'll tell you what, for myself, I remember sitting with Todd Button, and we're right there, right in front, the United States and Canada, almost going at it in warm-up in Philadelphia. That was a brawl. That was a rivalry. I actually really enjoyed that tournament. Went up, was standing next to a good friend. I'm actually joking, but I was standing next to Peter Jennings at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, good Canadian lad. Good Ottawa.
He was at the game, and everybody kept asking, who's the blonde there? Like, why is she there? And we're kind of talking, and everyone says, oh, that's a famous tennis player. She's only 15 years old. I'm like, well, who could she be dating on the Russian team if she's only 15? It was Anna Kournikova, of course, who was at the game and was dating Pavel Bure, but I enjoyed the hockey.
I thought she was with Fedorov.
Fedorov, I'm sorry. Yeah. She was with Bure later. She dated Pavel when... Oh, yeah, in Florida. That was the real... Oh. That was the breakup with Fedorov, and then I think he's been a longtime partner of Iglesias.
Singer there, yes. Iglesias. Enrique.
Yeah, so anyways, I love
that. You can be my hero, baby.
I, I saw him in concert in D.C. Actually, put on a nice show. I'm a big, big fan of his music.
Sounds like it.
So it is pretty good. But the 96, and that is exactly, JR, Mike Richter stood on his head. Canada dominated that first period, but it was a real good rivalry. I enjoyed the tournament. I thought it was, you know, at least from that perspective, still meant a lot. And that's, to me, really when the rivalry with the U.S., because if you go back to 87, one thing I didn't realize is that a lot of the American players didn't even play in 87. They decided that, hey, not going to end up doing it. And there was quite a bit of footage of Chris Nyland and some other players, but they didn't have much of a roster then. It was really more about Russia, Canada, and then I think Sweden and Czechoslovakia then at that time was fairly talented as well. I think that's who Canada beat in the semifinal to get to the final was Czechoslovakia.
Well, I'm not old enough. Well, I'm old enough. I was around, but not old enough to remember 72. But I can tell you the 1987, that best of three final between Canada and the then Soviet Union, all three games, 6-5, last two games, second game in overtime, last game pretty much in overtime, final minute or whatever. That's maybe the greatest hockey. Considering where the world was at and a best of, and a standard summer series, part, but just for sheer excitement of the games.
Yeah.
Those three games, back to back to back, I mean, hard to beat.
Yeah, it really was. And obviously you have Mario, you have Gretzky, you certainly have some defensemen that you always laugh about when you see Norman Rochefort on there and Doug Crossman. But
Igor Kravchuk.
Yeah. And you also, when you go through and you look at the Russian team, it was just really how talented they were. And you watch them dance around, JR, and some of the stuff they do. And at that time, had the big five before they ended up coming over. I really look at that and understand that form of hockey that the Russians Russians were playing is much more what we see in the National Hockey League now than what Canada was playing. You know, it's interesting how I think it's been a meshing of both worlds, but if you look at today's game, very much influenced by what we'd see in those Russian games in 1987. And the guy that really stood out outside of the Big Five was Valery Kaminsky, scored a couple of beautiful goals. I think a tying goal in game three, if I'm not mistaken, to make it 5-5, just walked right through. But boy, watching Val play, what a hockey player he was.
All right, there we go. So that's all this time of year, right? Mid-September,
yeah,
this
sure,
is when
sure.
international hockey. It was also, by the way, on this day in 2004 that Shane Doan scored the winning goal. Canada beat Finland 3-2 in Toronto to win that year's World Cup of Hockey. The only memory I have of that World Cup of Hockey was either the first or second game when Canada wore the gold-colored jerseys in honor of, is it the Winnipeg Falcons back in the, I don't know, 1920s or something?
Let's go with the Smoke Eater.
Anyway, that's all I remember was the jerseys.
Yeah, I flew out. I just started working for the Leafs, and I flew out to Minneapolis to watch a game. And I think it was the United States against Russia. And I remember talking to Chuck Fletcher, who was with Anaheim at the time, and the goaltender for Russia was just all over the place, an absolute hot mess. And I said to him, I don't think that Brizgalov's ever going to play in the National Hockey League. He was a weird cat even then.
He was humongous big.
He was, actually. So, yeah, I agree with you. That was really, 96 I enjoyed, but by the time we went to the 98 and 02 Olympics, JR, then the ship had sailed, along with the falling of the wall.
We don't need best tournaments.
No.
Okay, we've got an Olympics now. We don't need to roll back with World Cup of Hockey cash grabs.
Yeah, and you think about the Olympics and how much that means and how many guys want to be in training camp and want to prep and be ready to play in the Olympics this year. Like, what a big deal that is for guys.
Which tournament was it where they introduced the most hideous trophy in tournament history, which looked like a large crystal?
That was the World Cup of Hockey. I think that was 04. That was designed by some architect guy.
Well, and the 96 trophy was not bad. It was kind of somewhat...
Why didn't they keep it?
Well, they do. I've been to the Hall of Fame Hammer, and you go on a tour. If you get the secret tour, there's a room there that has all of these trophies that people say, listen, I don't know what we're going to do with this trophy anymore. I think the Avco Cup is there. There's all kinds of these trophies in this room that are just sitting there. So if you want to go back and see that one, that's probably where it is, because you ask yourself, where are you going to hold it? Well, I don't even know from a Canadian...
You couldn't pass it around. It looks so fragile.
Well, you would think in the Canadian Hockey Hall of Fame, but I guess from a Canadian perspective, that really is the International Hockey Hall of Fame when it comes to displays, right?
I think when it's one of those things where it was unveiled, so there's like a curtain over it or whatever, and then they pull it up. And I don't remember who it was, but some veteran hockey guy was there, and they just sort of panned, and the look on his face like, what the hell? What hockey player wants to play for that thing?
And I'll go one more story before we go to break, but there was one of the fun things on being punked was David Beckham, and the British gentleman that does the late night talk show ended up doing they were unveiling a statue of him, and so they came up with
James Corden?
Oh, yeah, they came up with a mock statue.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh my God, the day of. And he's like, I can't do it. My parents are coming. That was so well done, eh?
And what do you say?
Like, you're going to the unveiling of a statue, Jared, you haven't seen it.
Yep.
Like, what in God's name do you say if you don't like it, eh?
Didn't it have him with a big ass?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, huge.
Yeah.
And the face was kind of long, but it was the ass that was the best part. And he's talking to the guy, the sculptor. He's like looking at it.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know what to do, eh? Oh, my God. That was just absolutely perfect.
I think it was James Corden.
Oh, it was, absolutely. Because I was watching that along with a whole bunch of his karaoke's with Paul McCartney and a bunch of other ones.
All right, 6:22. We got lots to get to on a Tuesday morning. Quite a Monday night football game last night. The Jays remain red hot. We'll get you the latest on all the hockey news as well, and the Red Blacks make some significant changes at long last, as some fans would feel. Anyway, we'll get into all of that. We got our TSN $1,200,000 minute. If you got a code word into us yesterday, we could be calling you with the good news that you are grand prize winner this week in our Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest. That and much more as we continue along here on a Tuesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. And on this Tuesday morning, J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Get to Monday Night Football, which was incredible. If you missed it, overtime last night between the Ravens and the Raiders. We'll get to that in just a second, but we'll start with the Blue Jays, who are putting together some kind of September run. Going into last night's game, of course, coming off an incredible weekend against Baltimore. They actually lost the first game and then just started piling up the runs, capped by a 22-run offensive outburst in the win on Sunday. And last night, they kept the hitting shoes on, and they got some pitching as well, courtesy rookie Alek Manoah.
3-2 with the runner going. Swing and a miss! Kiermaier's down on strikes. 10 have gone into the glove for Alek Manoah, who's been brilliant through 8 shutout innings over the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, that's right. He had a 8 shutout innings, 1 hit allowed, 10 strikeouts. And meanwhile, the Blue Jays hit bats continued. Teoscar Hernandez had 5 hits, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had he had his 45th home run. We'll get to the significance of that in just a second. It went on a rope. Down the left field line. I believe the marking on the fence at the left field foul pole reads 328 feet. Hammer, correct? 328 feet. Mm-hmm. I believe that one flew 328 and a half feet. If you watched it exit right at the foul pole, right over the fence, I mean, you could not have placed it. There was probably not a shorter home run that will be hit at the Rogers Center this year. I'll put it that way. And they all count. I'm not here to discredit it in any way. They all count. I'm just saying that one barely got over the fence. Because that was a swinging out of your shoes. It was down and in. He just kind of golfed it on a line. And anyway.
It'll be the shortest home run that Vladdy Guerrero ever hits. Well, maybe in that short porch in right field in Yankee Stadium. But it was one of the shortest that he'll hit this season.
Yeah, and it ended up being his 45th. He now leads the major leagues in home runs. And also, he's got bragging rights in the family now, because the old man Vladdy Sr., and we can't ask him about it because he doesn't speak English still to this day. We'll bring in an interpreter. The best he could do in his Hall of Fame career was 44 home runs in a season, and his son at 22 years old just banged out number 45.
Yeah, absolutely incredible, JR. Did he get that with the Spos or was it with the Angels? Any idea? On the 44, because I saw a stat overnight, and I saw, that's pretty cool to a broken dad.
Good question. I'm going to go Angels.
Okay.
And it probably means it'll end up being Expo.
Now, when we think of Vladdy, Sr., we think of the twisting, and I think of no batting gloves. Am I accurate in saying that?
I believe so,
right?
Yes.
Daddy
and
always...
swinging at everything.
Everything.
Yeah. You can't walk off the island.
That was with the Expos as well.
See, I told you. Well, I guess one thing, it's the opposite.
Early on in his career, too, only his third full season.
So what year is that now?
2000.
Vladdy Guerrero? The year 2000?
Year 2000. 44 dingers. Year 2000. Why is that so hard to believe?
I don't know.
His rookie year was 96.
Vladdy Sr.?
And that was only, Vladdy Sr. And that was only I'm not going to call that his rookie year because that was only 9 games. 97 was his rookie with 90.
Why did he have kids? Middle school?
Well, isn't Junior a...
No,
is he a papa?
You're right, he is.
Vladdy's 22, that means he was born... The Vladdy Jr., it means he was born around 99. So
So
he had him very early in his career.
Okay, because you see some of the pictures where he's at the park in Montreal.
Extremely early.
Extremely early. Yeah. But anyways,
I'm getting into trouble in Montreal, can you?
Yeah. I just think of that, though, when you mentioned the years like that. That was when we brought up one of the shows that had been on Hammer, and you were telling us the years of it, and I was like, no way. You just end up losing track of time after a while.
But that's it. 44 with the Expos, 42 the year before with the Expos.
What's the most he had with the Angels?
The most he had with the Angels, 33.
Okay, so not even close.
Were the knees already going then? See, he'd run
with
into
the Angels.
Oh, he ran into Cairo.
Absolutely.
By the time he left Montreal, right, the old turf at Olympic Stadium, I think it had taken.
Well, that was
toll.
Cement. That was cement with a green rug. God. That's all that was.
Exactly.
That was horrible.
Just like they had here at
the Rogers.
Place.
Yeah.
Well, at TD Place as well for football.
Yeah. Anyway, 8-1 is the final. Yeah. Jays won it. Guerrero home run. Manoah outstanding. Teoscar 5 hits. Blue Jays rolling. 15 wins in their last 17 games. Yeah. And Red Sox lost last night. Yankees won. So now Toronto is alone atop the wild card chase. Yeah. It was not that long ago they were about 9 games out, like literally 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
They are now ahead in the chase and with 18 games to go in the season.
Yeah, I think it was August 28th, JR. They put out the percentage. It was about 15% to make the playoffs. Now, obviously, way up. And I guess, and you brought up, if it's Cole or Sale in a one-gamer, that's not great. But I think also would be certainly nice if you have the old Rogers Center, right, and be able to host a game in the comfort of that. Now, looking at the standings, am I accurate in saying, Hammer, if they were to win the play-in game, are they going to play the Rays? Is that a best of seven right off the hop?
That's a best of five.
Best of five, yeah. Okay. We discussed that, it's right that the wild card winner automatically plays the team with the highest
record. Yeah, they wiped out that where you don't face each other as a division.
Which, you know, and we'll see. It's got to play itself out, but we'll see. Like the Blue Jays, if they continue, will be the hottest. We'll agree they're the hottest team in the American League if they qualify. And Tampa Bay will have the best record. They would meet in the first round. It's even a worse situation in the National League, where you've got the Dodgers and the Giants have the two best records in the National League. Well, the Giants clinched at least a wild card last night. They'll probably win the division, which means the Dodgers are going to have to play in a play-in game, which they will probably win, and then they would have to play the Giants in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay,
like you're not,
okay,
in other words,
okay,
you're not getting the best two teams. And I get it from the Blue Jays' perspective; they will have the fourth best record if they win the wild card. They'll have the fourth best record, so we can't, even though they'll be playing hot, we can't say they're the second or first or the best team in the American League. Your record is what your record is. So 4-1, I get that. In the National League, it's not going to work out that way. You're going to get, well, we'll see what Milwaukee does. They're having a really good year as well.
Yeah,
but, arguably, you'll have the two best teams in the National League meet in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. What's happened to the Padres, Jer? Assumption this
injuries.
Is a disappointment. Oh, injuries? Okay.
Yeah, they've had a ton of pitching injuries, especially.
Yeah.
And Tatis has been out for a while. And
yeah, I find it hard to cheer for the Dodgers as well. I just find it beyond ridiculous with the payroll they have. But the Giants have been a real nice story, right? Because they had no expectations coming into the year.
They were, I believe, below 500 in the shortened year last year.
Okay.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
They have the best record in baseball this year with not your typical San Francisco blowing your brains out budget this year either. So, they've been a good news story.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that wraps up the baseball. Blue Jays and Rays will go at it tonight in game two of the series at the Rogers Center. Are they announcing? Because I looked at the crowd. The announced crowd last night was 12-something in Toronto. So they're announced. You went down to a game.
Yeah.
Hammer. So is that the so-called sellout number? Is 12,000 something?
No, I think the sellout, because I think when we were there, it was 14-2 something.
So they didn't
sell out
the game last night?
Yeah, that would be the
case. Wow.
Against the top team in the AL East while you are making a push for the playoffs.
That's surprising to me.
It's sad.
I know it's a Monday night, but.
But what else you've got? What else you got going on?
I don't know.
What are you doing in Toronto right now?
Well, does that speak
fighting
to...
traffic would be a start.
Does that maybe speak to people's reluctance to go? Now, we're talking about a 45,000-seat stadium where people are spread. But does that speak to overall to people's reluctance? Maybe in this country. We didn't see any evidence of this at NFL stadiums on Sunday night.
No, for sure.
Where people are reluctant to be around each other in the middle of a pandemic. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. The tickets that are made available to are, 100, 200 levels. So you're not going up top for $10 here. I think the cheapest ticket you have right now is something like $20 out in the outfield and left and right field, maybe $30.
12,119 was the attendance last night.
Are they operating at one-third, basically, JR? Like, is it a 45,000-seat stadium that they can bring in 15? Is that
no,
kind
that's,
of the
No, well, that's the Ontario rule.
Okay.
15,000 for the
Red
Blacks,
right?
Okay,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, also, and again, no excuse, JR, because it is metropolis. Really shows you, first of all, after Labor Day, but also when you're not selling the inventory or people planning games in advance, yeah, sometimes you're just kind of like, I remember we were down there, Hammer, and you got the scoop on that Monday, and I thought, it's going to be sold out right away. And then sure enough, I go on, there's all kinds of tickets for sale. I kind of had this assumption, well, there's a small inventory, they'll sell out all the games, we won't have a chance, and was actually surprised that there was inventory.
No, I'm surprised it's as low as 12.
Yeah,
that's pretty disappointing. That's pretty sad. You haven't been able to watch your team play in a year and a half, and all you've seen is this young core rise up, get a little taste of the expanded postseason last year, and here they have a legitimate chance. And I called a wild card game the playoffs. That's a playoff game. It's a one-game elimination. You got an opportunity here to cheer on this team through that, and you're not coming out for it.
You would have been. You lived in Toronto. You'd be there every night.
Well, maybe here or there, a little sprinkling. Like I said, it's a pricey ticket right now. if you want to go, you're looking at dropping $40-$50 a go. But, I mean, the population there, whereas surrounding Rogers Center, all it is condos, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's an easy subway and it's an easy GO train. There's plenty of ways to get there.
It was not that expensive not that long ago because, I have two nephews who used to live down in Toronto. Both of them play baseball, huge baseball fans. At one point, you could get a 500-level season ticket for $81. $1 per game. All season. $81 for the entire season.
Yeah.
That's when the Blue Jays were at, kind of bottomed out. Sometime early to mid 2000s, somewhere in that.
That's also you have 4 pints and they've doubled their money.
Well,
so you're good to
just
go.
Just getting you in the door.
No, that was the story. You know, the old IHL when they were an NBA building share, they didn't care about ticket prices. It was quite simply, let's just get people in and hey, get them served. And the less they pay, the more they're going to spend inside to eat.
All right, let's take a break because I want to come back. I want to spend a little bit of time on the Monday Night Football game last night because there are so many different angles to this. The overtime itself we could spend an hour on. It just was incredible. Raiders and Ravens went to extra time. What a game to cap off week one. We'll tell you how it turned out. And we'll just leave it at that. It was a crazy ending. We'll come back with that and much more later on this morning. We'll get the latest. What's up, Chuck? Latest on Brady Tkachuk and his continuing stalemate with the Ottawa Senators over a new contract. That and much more as we roll on here for a Tuesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. And hammer with you, Keegan Matheson from MLB.com covers the Blue Jays. Is going to join us later on in the show, and we'll talk about this incredible run the Blue Jays are on right now. 12-1 in the month of September. They have surged to the top of the wild card standings with 18 games to go. We'll also have our grand prize winner in this week's Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest. So if you got at least one code word into us, stand by. We could be calling you with the good news that you are this week's winner. And next hour, a chance for somebody to grab $1,000 in our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. So I wrote the questions last night as I am just, I'm basically almost now to the point of first question is, what is your first name?
Exactly.
Like I am to the point now where I'm essentially laying out the red carpet for someone to win this prize. The questions today are exceptionally easy, but it will require someone with the ability to go 10 for 10 to win the $1,000.
Feeling a bit of a dumb and dumber moment, though, JR, because I know you've been walking around with $1,000 cash in your pocket, and I feel like by the time we give it away, it's going to be a full suitcase of IOUs, just like the end of the movie. You know, you really
Had some golf bets over the weeks, you know, things are, maybe the rule is the stash is a little bit lighter than it was. Sorry about that.
Well, once you cash in the 1,000 note, you know, you break it down, start with 100s, just give me 520s just in case. All of a sudden, that gets spent just a little bit, and then you start going down a little further, and then you realize, hey, just let me do, here's what we're going to do. Just going to do a little bank deposit. Just going to send you over some cash when it's done instead of 1,000 bonus.
It'll be close to 1,000.
Oh, anyway. Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
So we'll do that coming up next hour. We'll also get into some chat. The Red Blacks, we had Paul Lapolice on yesterday, Red Blacks head coach, talking about he's going to spend this week, this mini bye week, kind of assessing his team. Well, it didn't take long. Maybe even it happened when he was talking to us, but he didn't spill the beans. The Red Blacks signed 5 players yesterday, including Kenny Stafford, 7-year CFL veteran, and another receiver, Terrence Williams. If you're a Cowboys fan, you'd be familiar with Terrence Williams. Played 6 years in Dallas. Oh. He is now coming up to, we'll call it at this point a tryout. Yeah. Hasn't played the CFL game, but he has been added to the Red Blacks roster as well.
What has he been doing recently, JR? Had he been in a training camp with somebody?
I'm not sure.
Because that's always the part you're a little nervous of, but maybe he's just working out with T.O. T.O.'s living right across from the practice facility in Dallas, so maybe he's got him ready to rock and roll. And at 47, how do you think T.O. would look in the CFL, especially if he can be in motion?
He claims he could still be a number one receiver in the NFL, so I would think he would clean up in the CFL.
Yeah, that's true. I felt bad for him when he had the tryout, though, because he was running, and man, obviously he's a specimen, but like anybody that's had the injury that he's had, every time he went to cut, was like, no, not going to be there, right? When he had that last real go of it, whenever that was, way back when.
Right. Lever Sage will be by with the Ottawa Red Blacks radio show, a Tuesday staple if you're a Red Blacks fan. That's come up tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, from the CFL to the NFL. Week one wrapped up last night with the Monday Nighter. There were a pile of different things we can talk about with this game. First of all, Ravens-Raiders. Ravens were up 14-0. They were up at one point 17-3. a quickly, because the overtime, we could spend the entire segment on the overtime, we will, but I got to catch you up on how, the Raiders, to their credit, came back to tied at 17. Baltimore goes ahead with about 5 minutes or so to go, 24-17. The Raiders go down the field and score the game-tying touchdown, 24-24. You're thinking this one's going to overtime. Baltimore takes it down. They go up on a field goal with 42 seconds to go. And you're thinking, that's it, right? It's they're going to win it by three. They got the great defense going or whatever. To their credit, the Raiders got it to two quick passes. This is where it was, the only thing the prevent defense does is prevent you from winning. That might have been what the Ravens were doing last night because they allowed the Raiders two quick passes, got in the middle of the field. Daniel Carlson, the Raiders kicker, 55-yard field goal with 2 seconds left to tie it and send it to overtime. All right. The overtime was incredible. The Raiders won the kick, won the toss, so received, drove it down the field, and let's pick it up now with the Raiders in position to potentially win the game.
Shotgun snap. They rush it. Here comes the blitz. He throws it away in a backpedal down the far sideline. Backpedaling catch at the 10. Backpedals down the sideline. Touchdown, Raiders! Brian Edwards with the reception of 33 yards. They're going to look at it because his knee may have gone down before that. I don't think he got across, did he?
I think he's a little bit short. He does everything he possibly could.
All right, there's our friend, the overly descriptive Kevin Harlan, with the call here on TSN 1200. And indeed, they were correct. Upon review, the ball was down at the half-yard line. And again, the way the overtime rules work now, it's not just, hey, let's kick the field goal and win it, right? Baltimore, because they hadn't had the ball yet, would get a chance if the Raiders kick a field goal. But they're at the half-yard line.
Oh, yeah.
What can happen? The Raiders are at the half-yard line. Let's just punch it in. Score a touchdown, you win automatically, right? Let's just punch it in. Well, first and goal, Derek Carr does the quarterback sneak, doesn't get in. Second down. Tweet! All right, illegal procedure.
I like your rooster crawl better.
Thank you.
But okay, go.
All right. I could do that for my penalty. Anyway, illegal procedure, back 5 yards. They're now on the 6-yard line. Suddenly, the touchdown, which would win the game, has become slightly more difficult. I believe there was a second or third down. There was an incomplete pass. Then on third down, now you got to try and toss it in the end zone. What happens? Interception. Of course, the Ravens have life. So now the Ravens have the ball. And they start to drive a little bit down the field. And then there is a sack. Lamar Jackson fumbles. The Raiders recover again. They've got another opportunity. This time, all they have to do is kick a field goal to win the game. All right? They're already in Ravens territory when they take over the ball. Okay, John Gruden, okay, first down, I remember what the first down play was. Second down, it's like, you know what, I'm not going to screw around. We've already, you know what, this up once. I'm not going to do it again. Get me the field goal kicker out here. And it would have been like a 45 yarder, but he's like, I'm not going to screw this up. Let's just get. They couldn't find the kicker. He goes running on the field with about 5 seconds to go. They had to call a timeout. And at that point, Gruden they had burned their timeout.
Oh, my God.
So then it was too much time. So then they were back 5 yards. Then they decide, well, it's too far to go for a field goal. So let's send the offense back out on the field. So you would already think, how can the Raiders screw this up again? Here we go. Raiders from the 31-yard line of Baltimore.
Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown. This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over. And a baby.
There you go. Well, a lot of babies there from Brent Musburger, who is now the radio play-by-play voice of the Las Vegas Raiders. So, if at first you don't succeed, try again. They win it in overtime, 33-27. Just an incredible overtime.
Yeah, and sometimes you call them incredible. Some people would also say it's absolutely terrible football, but it's entertaining. And I think old Brett had a little cash on the game. And boy, I got to say, I'm a big Chucky or whatever the hell you call him. I'm a big Gruden fan. I'm shocked, JR, at the chaos that has ensued since he's returned to the Raiders. And more importantly, just over how overwhelmed he looks at times as a coach. Like, I thought this guy, hey, attention to detail. He knows more than anybody on the planet, and
it's not a well-coached football
no,
team.
Not at all.
They're
not disciplined at all, and they're not well-coached. It's almost like I really am. I didn't expect that coming back, but like I said, he certainly talked a great game when he was in the booth.
Speaking of John Gruden and talking a good game, here he is post-game.
Felt like I died and woke up and died again, and I was like a cat. I had multiple lives tonight. I don't like playing like that. It was tough, but again, we did a lot of really good things to win that football game tonight.
Okay, sure. We'll take your word for it. They did win. And listen, that's all they're looking for. You got a W or you got an L, and they got a W.
Yeah.
They pulled it out somehow, some way. So full credit for that. And Baltimore and John Harbaugh will be kicking themselves for a game they let get away. And Lamar Jackson had two costly fumbles, including the one in overtime, which led to that game-winning touchdown. So the Raiders win it 33-27 in overtime. So we got to look at our TSN 1200 football pick 'em pool. We've got our week one winner. We had a three-way tie for first place.
Nice.
With 20 points, which is not bad. So we had to go to the tiebreaker, which is closest to the total points for the Monday night game. We had Iron Guy guessed, and the total, of course, was 60. Iron Guy guessed 40 points. Dub C guessed 44 points. Our winner, who guessed 48 points. Our winner's team name is... Lover of Big Boobs. Lover of Big Boobs.
Okay. We have to say this all morning and all day?
There's nothing wrong with that.
What? No.
Is our... And again, we ask you when you make up your team name, you know, to... We'd like to be able to say it on the radio.
I want to know the real name, too, though, so we can out...
Why do you want to out Lover of Big Boobs?
It's just so immature.
Well, that's what, at the end, back to my point of all guys, according to my wife, are 12 years old.
Is there such a thing as Lover of Small Boobs, Hammer?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely there is.
All liar.
Right. All right. Lover comes from Embrun. His name is Paul. We'll leave his last name. Yeah. Paul from Embrun.
Oh, yep. Come on, Paul.
Team name, Lover of Big Boobs. Wins via the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Week one prize of $100. Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar.
Sorry about that. Did I stay in the top 1,000, Jer? Not much of a week for me. I think I not.
Oh, I was garbage. Yeah. I even changged my pick last night from the Raiders to the Ravens, I need 2 points here.
Let's see here. Simmer, strong 855th.
Oh, that's not
or 808th.
Okay. So I made the top 1,000. Yeah.
I only had 10 points.
There may not have been 1,000 people that entered in week one. Hammer, you're at 702.
Not bad.
So, Simmer, you had 9 points. Hammer, you had 10 points.
Yep. Just trash.
Who's the leaderboard?
Let's see here. Leaderboard. Let's go up to the celebrity leaderboard.
Not one of Paul.
Eddie at security.
Oh,
Eddie at security, man. Who lives for the to win the celebrity portion. Yeah.
And he's actually a Green Bay fan, so he still won.
So he would have got that one wrong.
Green Bay.
Let me see here. I can't seem to bring it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's leading. Now, Hammer, remember yesterday I said somehow, some way that my picks didn't seem to register because I never got an email.
Yeah. Yes.
Out of the middle of nowhere, last night at about 9 o'clock, I'm scrolling through my email and I get an email with my picks on it. So I don't know what happened. I'm still not showing up on the board. But Hammer, you have seen. I forwarded you the email.
I was wondering why you sent me this email.
I know.
That's after the fact shenanigans. He went in and made his picks yesterday, and now he's going to be showing up here like he got them all right.
He edited the email.
There is no editing. I added my points. So, Eddie at security, 18 points to lead the TSN 1200 gang. Yeah. I had 15, so I have already thumped you guys decisively in week one.
0 points.
I had 15. You had 10. Simmer had 9.
Picking after the games are played, right there. It can be an easy way to get points. Wow.
All to tell you that week two is ready to go. Don't be like me, and somehow, some way, you'll get an email saying these are your picks are available online right now at tsn1200.ca, the big banner right across the top that says football pool. You click on that, fill out your picks, and again, you get 2 points if you pick the road team. That's the secret to our pool. 2 points if you pick the road team. Make sure you pick the tiebreaker like Lover of Big Boobs did, because that's what won Paul and Embrun his first place prize of $100 from our sponsor, and we're glad to have them as part of it again. Baton Rouge Steakhouse and Bar.
My kid obviously stayed up and watched the entire game
because he's a huge Raider fan.
Yeah. Left his 3 Raider jerseys out in the kitchen with a note of, "Hey, wear one to work. game of the year. I'm like, well, first of all, it's just week one.
Yeah.
And he obviously does not understand that he and I are two completely different sizes and that none of his jerseys at all. I'd look like Bunda wearing his retro Buccaneers jersey.
From when he was 12 years old.
And midriff. You'd be seeing some belly button right there.
We don't need to see that. We don't need to see that.
But I took it and I just put it in the car and selling it right there on the seat.
I will say for all the I didn't watch every game start to finish, but I watched football all day Sunday and watched that game last night. And the Cowboy-Buccaneer game was pretty good to kick it off last Thursday. I will agree, game of the year so far through week one. That was an incredible game for a bunch of different reasons.
Because of how messy it was.
Also,
what a great stadium, though, too. Right?
Yeah. The other part, and we'll get to that at some point, if you watched, and I tipped some people off who weren't aware, so Peyton and Eli Manning did a kind of a, we're watching the game in our living room and just commenting on the game, and brought in Travis Kelce, Russell Wilson, Charles Barkley, I don't remember who the other.
Ray Lewis
at various points of the broadcast last night. I ended up, finding it. TSN has four channels, right? So this was an alternate broadcast, and they did it in the States as well. I turned it on. I never turned it off. It was really, really good.
Yeah,
I got to say, it's just a completely different way to watch a football game. Anyway, we'll hear from the Manning brothers and how they did last night.
Do they have snacks and stuff, too? Or are they munching and crunching on some buds?
They did not show them eating at any point.
Drinking?
Yeah,
didn't show any drinky either.
No, they tried to give. Maybe that's to come. Maybe that'll be the week two change.
The evolution of it.
All right, we'll take a break. Get you top of the hour news and sports update. And when we come back, we'll get you the very latest on What's Up, Chuck? Brady Tkachuk. Unsigned remains unsigned with the Ottawa Senators. The very latest on that story and the Sens as we head toward the beginning of rookie camp coming up tomorrow and the prospects game on Saturday. So the latest hockey news. We'll revisit the Jays win, talk about the changes with the Red Blacks, that and much more coming up right here on a Tuesday edition of Sports Radio TSN 1200.